Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, no, it's all right, we'll do the repeat after. Is that okay? I'll read it through first and we'll do phrase by phrase. Thank you. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, O best of the demigods, although you have been amply harassed because of my potency in assuming the form of a woman, you are established in your position. Therefore, all good fortune be upon you. So, if we do each phrase now. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, O best of the demigods, although you have been amply harassed because of my potency in assuming the form of a woman, you are established in your position. Therefore, may all good fortune be upon you. Purport. Since Lord Shiva is the best of the demigods, he is the best of all the devotees. Vaishnava nam yata sambhu. His exemplary character was therefore praised by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who gave his benediction by saying, may all good fortune be upon you. When a devotee becomes a little proud, the Supreme Lord sometimes exhibits his supreme power to dissipate the devotee's misunderstanding. After being amply harassed by Lord Vishnu's potency, Lord Shiva resumed his normal, unagitated condition. This is the position of a devotee. A devotee should not be agitated under any circumstances, even in the worst reverses. As confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita 6:22, Yasman stito tikena guru rapi, guru napi vichalyate. Because of his full faith in the Supreme Personality of Godhead, a devotee is never agitated, even in the greatest trials. This pridelessness is possible only for the first class devotees, of whom Lord Sambhu is one. Om jnana timmarantasya jananjana salakeya chakshuhun milatum yena tasmai shri gurave namaha. Sri Chaitanya Manopistam Sitapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Natati Svapadantikam Vanchakaupatrupiyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyevacha Patitanam Pavanabeyo Vaishnavabeyo Namo Namaha. Also, I'll just chant a prayer, which is requesting the Bhagavatam, and offer a prayer of respect to Bhagavatam for its mercy, in so in some way it may be helpful to us all, and that we'll understand more about ourselves and of others and the Supreme Lord. Samsara sagre magnam dinam mam kuru nithi karma grihaya kritangam mamudava bhavam ava. I have fallen into the ocean of repeated birth and death, and I am totally distressed. My karma is like crocodiles ready to bite me. O ocean of mercy, please pick me up from the ocean of material existence. Srimad Bhagavata Kyayoyam Pratyaksha Krishna Evahi Savrikrito Shimaya Natamuta Yartam Bhavasakare. This Srimad Bhagavatam is actually Krishna himself. O my Lord, to get released from this cycle of birth and death, I have taken shelter at your lotus feet. Manavrati madayayoyam sapala sovatavaya nirvaganeva kartavyam dashaham tava keshava. My dear Keshava, I am your servant. Please fulfill this desire of mine in serving you through the Srimad Bhagavatam. Narayan namaskritya naram jeva narottamam devam sasvatam vyasam tatum jayamudiyet. Before reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the very means of conquest, one should offer respectful obeisances unto the personality of Godhead, Narayan, unto Narayan Rishi, the supermost human being, unto Mother Sarasvati, the goddess of learning, and unto Srila Vyasadeva, the author. So, wonderful verse, wonderful purport. It seems this, I notice this is another time when the Lord refers to him as, O best of the demigods. And this time, the first time, was somehow when Lord Shiva requested to see this form of the Lord. And somehow it was almost tongue-in-cheek. Tongue-in-cheek means a sort of a leading point, where sometimes in the court of law, the lawyer will say something that will try and lead the witness into a statement to reveal themselves, who they are, you know, what they're like. So they'll sort of trick them. They don't necessarily call them the best of the demigods, but they'll say something in such a way that they may feel secure in themselves. Now, Krishna's doing this. He sensed Lord Shiva's position internally, his consciousness. And so he says, O best of the demigods, although you have been harassed because of my potency in assuming the form of a woman. This is very interesting, isn't it? Harassed. But our mind can be harassed by thoughts and the objects of the senses. There's no doubt. And we can see in this day and age where so many unfortunate things happen. The mind gets led by sense objects. The grass is greener on the other side of the road. We don't see what we have, what our good fortune is, what our quota is in this world. Ishvasyam idam sarvam yakincha jagatim jagat tenik tiek tenik unjita magridha kasya svidhanam. This is a wonderful verse. It can be applied in so many ways. He says, the living entities in this world, this universe, is created by me. I'm the Lord of the universe. They're mine. I'm the controller. And then he said, but we should be satisfied with that which has been set aside as our quota, and not accept other things, knowing well to whom it belongs. Now, so many people are misled. Lord Shiva here was deliberately misled because there was just a subtle pride entering into his position somehow or other. Though he wanted to see this form, he was curious, he wanted to see its power, how it had misled the demons. Likewise, we can become unsettled in whatever position we're in. So many marriages are breaking up, so many relationships are breaking up. You know, whether it be children with parents, wives, husbands, so many things happening in this world where this dissatisfaction comes in. This being deluded by the external energy. And it's basically, it's because we want to be served. In other words, that I'm not being fulfilled. This dissatisfaction. When actually, this is forgetfulness of Krishna. This is forgetfulness of that which we already have. We're not seeing what we already have. And Prabhupada explains in this very nice letter to one of his disciples, where he says, external changes do not change or bring internal changes. So whatever we do in terms of trying to change our position, trying to improve our lot in our devotion, that somehow we feel we should be doing this, we should be doing that. Oh, I think I should live somewhere else. I think I should go and live with another person. You know, so many things attack us in our devotional life. Yet, we don't see what we have now. Now, Prabhupada, he says in this wonderful letter again to Jayapataka Swami, he says, a surrendered soul sees that everything is part of Krishna's plan. No matter what I am doing now, I'm meant to be doing. You see, this is addressing the whole point that we don't see what we're doing now. That somehow or other, we don't understand that somehow this is an arrangement of Krishna. And our dissatisfaction is a dissatisfaction with Krishna's arrangement. I like this Krishna, but I don't like this Krishna. You know, we can be so misled. You know, this will be better for me. I think I should go here. I think I should go there. It'll be more peaceful here. It'll be more nice there. But you can't run away from Krishna. It's an internal arrangement. It's an internal thing that we somehow have to surrender to Krishna's arrangement. And that doesn't mean that somehow we don't consult, that somehow we should speak to our authorities, our spiritual master, seeking guidance. Shishi Radhiko Kulananda Kishai, Shishi Gornitai Kishai, Shishi Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Kishai. No, this is very important actually. The mentor system, the Shiksha Guru, whatever you like to call it, the Guru, Diksha Guru, they're there. And actually, we sometimes deny ourselves this facility to actually speak with them and clarify our position, to actually share with them and reveal our heart, what is our weakness, what is our strength, or what's going on. That, how can I serve you? This is a very nice statement, but it's a risky statement because it means we may have to change our position. If we want somebody else's advice, the spiritual master's advice. We say, what can I do for you? How can I please you? What do you, you know, is there some service you need from me? It means then you're putting your own, your sort of so-called independence in their hands. It's a form, it's a surrendered statement. So, this is sort of like this. Instead of surrendering to the fortunate Lord Shiva, he surrendered to Yoga Maya in this case. It was that was the wonderful reality of it. It was Krishna he was surrendering to, just another form of Krishna he surrendered to. But it was to reveal his, he was amply harassed. In other words, he saw his position, how he was moved from his position of stability and constancy and pure position of worship. He was given an opportunity to find out that maybe the Lord's potency was greater than him and than what he thought. He couldn't be altered in any way. So, and then he says, you've been established in his position. So it says, Prabhupada says, because of full faith in the Supreme Personality of Godhead, a devotee is never agitated, even in the greatest trials. This pridelessness is possible only for the first class devotees. So, if we have to understand, it's a very elevated position, this unagitated position. Even though you may hiccup, but somehow you're not agitated, your faith is still strong. And this is why it says in the Bhagavad Gita that my devotee never falls down, even though he commits the most abominable activity, because he's rightly situated in his determination. You know, and so, and Prabhupada, he warns in this statement that he says that basically people do fall down, people do hiccup. And we should be very much aware that before he said a devotee should never criticize the devotee for their so-called fall down position. We can observe what happens. And we should understand that we're also, we should feel vulnerable. Because this Mahamaya potency, you know, some of us may not be so influenced as others, but certainly it's very, very powerful. And so in our condemnation of others, then most certainly the Lord will put you in the same position somehow or other. That somehow we'll, in our idle chat, condemn ourselves to some little fall-down situation because of putting ourselves in a position of judging. And it's something we, and Prabhupada warns of in the purport of this. Be very careful of this. We don't understand what the Lord's arrangements are. You know, Lord Shiva, he was put in this position. It's a pastime. It's helping us. Lord Indra, they're helping us by their position of humiliation in front of the Lord. They're helping us. They're showing us that, you know, that we should also apologize to the Lord, you know, for our shortcomings, and that we should surrender ourselves to the Lord in the same way that we should be, know that we're fallen, but at the same time, still be fixed in our faith in Krishna consciousness. We must have belief in the statements My devotee never falls down. And then you come to the first class position. It's a very nice statement. So Prabhupada, he says, it's just so wonderful, especially as Lord Shiva behaved in such a way in front of his wife. I don't know. I haven't seen anything yet where it says how she comments on the situation, but I imagine she had a few thoughts as to what was going on, and seeing Lord Shiva just sort of just head in a different direction, away from her, leave her aside, and started chasing this Mohini Murti. But also, it shows her position in a way, because it shows her understanding as well. Somehow she's unagitated. She sees what's happening. Now, very interesting thing about married relationships, that somehow the man can be totally agitated, but the woman is totally calm. It's a very interesting thing that I certainly noticed it in my marriage. That, you know, I became very perturbed by a situation where we were almost going to lose the adoption that we'd set up. And I was completely distressed. I'd grown so attached to this child. But my wife was completely calm. Completely calm. You'd think it'd be the other way around, actually. And certainly in the court, I noticed this. And the way she spoke in this, there was a dispute. It had to go to court. The social services took it to court because of their judgment that, you know, they felt it was that should the child should stay with us. But it was a very difficult. But I saw my wife speak in such a way that I was amazed. What was, for a woman, such a stressful position, but somehow she became completely calm and spoke in such a way which I was really heartened by, you know. I was amazed by it. Very special quality. So we can see that they're actually in a relationship. There is a balance in a marriage relationship that we should understand. It's created by the Lord. Though we have our disputes and difficulties, Prabhupada says that external changes don't change us internally. This is very good advice. So whatever you're thinking about doing in your life, you know, it causes such upheaval when we do these things that cause also distress to others. So, and in that particular letter, he points out that Krishna says we should not create distress to others because for our own spiritual so-called advancement. Actually, it's a form of selfishness. You know, if you don't like a situation, you can't handle it. He said, why do you take a vow? Why do you make a promise? It's so heavy. He says, marriage has become a farce. And vow, I remember Mahatma Das, he says, vow means that you keep something and it's a matter of life or death. It's something that you'd rather die than break. So we have to know what a vow is before we get married, or before we get initiated. It's very important. Because if you break your vows, whether initiation vows, marriage vows, you have to be very, very careful. You know, you just... It's the frivolous nature of this world. It some says it says, it's okay. Go for it. Your advancement is more important. But it's not. The other person's advancement is more important to a devotee. The gopis are in this mood. You go first to Krishna. You go to Radharani. This is their mood. And their happiness is even 1,000 times greater than the person they're trying to put into the position of happiness. Because they feel such joy when they see their service. So no envy. No envy at all. No selfishness. It's a very amazing position. But the joy they feel, they enjoy more than the two enjoyers. The enjoyed and the enjoyer. Their joy is even greater. Their happiness is even greater. Just to see their joy. The supreme couple's enjoyment. That's their joy. So, if we're not careful, this illusion of Maya, you know, this attraction of other things, completely can take us away from real happiness, the possibility of real happiness, because it doesn't change us internally. That's what we're after. And we can only do that by austerity and tolerance. And then Krishna does everything else. He'll give you this joy eventually. I think that's about it. Any comments, questions?